Conrad's memo, and thank you, Conrad, for taking time, even when you're off, to really follow this. We don't want – so this is kind of a complicated issue, and it goes back a ways, but I think in order – there's – in order for us to really get to the bottom of everything, sort it all out, we would have to embark on quite a substantial investigation. I don't think we have the staff time. I question whether we have the jurisdiction, and – I don't know that that's ultimately what these people are wanting. So what I've talked to Jack and Conrad a little bit about is how what we might be able to do to be expedient in using our powers to try to make a difference in this situation and try to, A, get the parties together to come up with agreement. That's ultimately what they need. Like, okay, these parties have to find some way to work together because this $6 million investment has been made, and they maybe didn't do things correctly on the front end and should have had this ironed out a long time ago, but they didn't. So here we are. So, we can jump to solutions, but before we get to that, maybe if Randy or Brian, if you guys have any questions you want to ask about this in some of the facts or issues involved, maybe you can throw those out on the table first, and then we can talk about what kind of options we have moving forward. Do you have any, Randy?
I have a strong opinion, but and maybe I'm wrong about something, so in a way it's almost like questions, but I'm ready to just get into it if you have suggestions. But
Do you have any questions, Brian?
No, Conrad briefed me for 4 or 5 minutes before I departed and hopped in the vehicle, so
okay,
I'm ready to move forward.
All right. Well, I somewhat hesitate to throw out the possible solution with Randy sitting over here with strong opinions. But so what I think would be helpful is a suggestion that Jack made, and that is get everybody in here for a meeting and try to kind of serve as mediators to get a solution to this. So that would be kind of a quick, like, here's what we can do and try to make it happen. The other option would be to say, we don't have jurisdiction, you guys have to work it out. I mean, that would be another option that would be expedient too, simple, but it wouldn't probably be using any of our leverage to try to make good in here.
Well, I'm so frustrated when I read this, and I just want to emphasize what you said. Thank you, Conrad, for laying all this out. But unless there's stuff that I'm just not getting or missing in here, these entities involved have screwed around for months and months, and it's not the first time similar things have happened. So you might say years and years. They can't get anything done, and people lose tons of money. And when elevators lose tons of money, we know what that really means. It means farmers lose tons of money that aren't even involved in all this crap. But because these are big companies, and this is a small part of big companies, they know they can just delay. And having a meeting is going to cause somebody to lose $270,000 here in a contract, because we're not going to get everybody together and then come to a conclusion and get it done in time to then figure out whose train is supposed to pick this up and get it to where the contract goes. So I guess my thought is, and this isn't the first time, as soon as one of these situations boils over into another damn crisis, then we have legislators, the governor, federal, calling us, oh, fix it. But no one will give us clear jurisdiction either. In fact, the feds 25 years ago took most of it away.
Right.
So if they want us to have jurisdiction, they should give us jurisdiction and not just call and put us in a helpless situation. My thought is, what have we really got to lose? I do not know what this is somewhere where, in the second paragraph, Todd and Red River Valley and Western are accusing CP of not allowing Red River Valley and Western access to the facility. So I don't know, are they out there with armed guards? Is this an old Western where they got logs burning on the tracks? Just go, damn it, and do it. And then I guess we'll probably have litigation, and it'll get settled in court who owes who what.
Right.
I don't know what else needs to be done, but send the train down there and get the grain out, meet the contract, and then when somebody feels violated on this, they'll bring a court case and we can handle it.
Commissioner Christman. Go ahead, Chairman.
I can't even begin to imagine, though, that the short line is going to be comfortable going on CP's spur if it's been taken out of service. That just seems like it's a big stretch, big ask. You know, I agree. I just want to get it done as well, but... these parties aren't going to come together on their own, or they wouldn't be before us right now, right?
Mr. Christman, I'm not sure if your question was rhetorical or if I can provide shed some light on how they gain access in railroad operations.
What is not allowing them? Physically, all this time, all this time, they built a $6 million facility. They thought they had access, apparently. So what's happening now that all of a sudden they don't?
The way this line is set, is designed, and I think it's in the packet I handed you, it's the fourth page in, there's a map that looks like this. And I apologize, the email was supposed to have this map, but at 11:30 at night, I attached the wrong attachment. So, but
bad contract.
I know. My fault. So if you'll, it looks like it's got two railroad lines on it. So when you're looking at this, you've got the highlighted yellow and blue line there on the top of the map. So this is north. So you've got Lidgerwood, North Dakota, identified by the name right there. The railroad line on the north of it is the existing line that is there today. There used to be, back in the 50s and the 40s, two competing railroads that operated their own separate main lines that ran parallel to each other, and that's the southern line that you see on the map as well there, so the second parallel line. The railroads got together and agreed to merge and jointly own that track and equally have share in the investment of it and the maintenance costs of it. So the north line is what exists today. This red spur line that comes down that joins up is what was constructed to allow access to that southern elevator right there. And so that section of track is also jointly owned, that's highlighted in red, as is the portion of track on the north. The southern main line no longer exists in its entirety. It's just different sections of it. Under the agreement, there is an operating company and a using company. And the agreement that they reached with the Surface Transportation Board back in the 50s is on this section of line, Canadian Pacific is the operating company, which means they control dispatching authority. With railroad operations, you don't enter a track space without the authority to do so for safety reasons. So you have to operate under that. That's federally required. Under federal law, they have to operate. So CP is under DMVW is the one that controls dispatching on that line. Hence why Red River Valley and Western can't just hook up and pull down there at their leisure, because they don't have the authority to enter that track at that time. They'd be given authority to enter it when there's a safe time for them to run their train down that track. So they're accusing CP of not allowing them access by not allowing them dispatch authority to run down that track to make the delivery.
Well, these people seem to think we have this. Why don't we just grant them and tell them, as far as we're concerned, they should take it. And then if they say it's not your authority, well, then quit coming to us and telling us it is. And if they go ahead then on that and CP feels that they've lost money and had their contractual, these people don't come to us with their contracts.
Right.
But then we're supposed to interpret them without even seeing them.
I would agree, Commissioner.
Go take the train and settle it in court when CP sues them, I suppose. That
we were brought into this rather late, since this discussions and issues have been ongoing, at least involving Senator Hovind's office since about November. And then when it seems like things are going into crisis mode, then we were brought into the loop late last week. And typically, from my experience in loading operations and managing and constructing rail terminals, you don't enter into a construction project without knowing how you're going to get your cars before you even, turn a shovel of dirt. You don't do that. And so originally, some history, the elevator was working with CP. CP did service the facility. That's how they did their shipments in the past. When they went to the shuttle facility, they were working with CP. There were some things that CP and Litterwood Farmers didn't agree on. I'm not sure of all the details on it, but it had to do with how many shipments CP would expect on the line and the agreements. And CP was willing to invest money into the project and give them a grant as well. So Litterwood didn't want to commit to operating with one railroad. They wanted to have the ability to operate with two railroads. And so they worked with BNSF and thereby Red River Valley and Western to do shuttle trains and ship out that way. And so that's kind of a brief backstory on the situation. And then now it's basically coming down to I don't want to say petty issues, but issues that, you know, we've got a facility that needs to be serviced. The way they plan to operate is they want to park grain trains on that jointly owned spur track that's marked in red on the map. CP saying, well, you're not going to park trains on that without us getting some type of compensation for that. We're not going to just get shut out in the cold. It's our property. You want to use part of the property. We jointly own it. We need some compensation, and hence CP wanting that minimum volume agreement. So that's some of it from their perspective. Then the question, obviously, with that operating railroad and using railroad, CP, by all intents and purposes, believes that they are the operating railroad of that small little spur right there, and that the work was done on that track without their consent or approval. In one of the operating agreements that was sent to me, and that's just the second page of the document, the supplemental agreement to their main agreement, highlighted and then underlined in red, it appears that Great Northern, which then turned into BN, which is now Red River Valley, RRVW, is the operating railroad on that track and has that authority. Now, I just got some of these documents this morning, so I haven't had a chance to reach back out to CP to say, hey, what do you think of this? It doesn't appear that you're the operating railroad under this section. Why does your authority dealing with the track maintenance seem to be an issue in this? I haven't had a chance because I just got these.
But why don't we consider doing, and I don't know if this is the right term, but an order to show cause or something, and have these various parties by in a few days from now file their legal briefs of why they think whatever it is they think should happen here in order to get this grain shipped in a timely manner, and we'll let them do the legal research of how it can happen. These people, they must have, I can't hardly believe they built this track out or improved it, whichever it was, and built this big loading facility, and that they don't have some kind of agreements that they based their decisions on, and they should file briefs and we'll make a decision.
Yeah, but I feel like if we're going down that much of a legal path, then you got all the legal timelines, and then it's really going to get bogged down. I think we need to keep it. I think we should, if we're going to engage at all, we should reference this power that we have and say under these, you know, under this, such and such a regulatory power, we are engaging in this issue, and we request that these you parties attend an informal whatever and try to work out something. Once you start writing briefs, they're going to be like, oh, no, we can't do it in 3 days. We need 10 days, and then 10 days to respond to the other person's brief. And I mean, then you're just bogged down in the legal process, and that's exactly what CP probably would like. I think we've got to keep it informal.
Well, I thought we could give them a short period of time, and they either get it done or they don't participate, and then our decision's easier.
What decision? I mean, if we're going to do something formal like that, we've got to have all the requirements under the, what are the rights?
Due process.
Yeah. Right. We have to follow all that stuff.
We could spend a week doing it, or we could spend 2 years doing whatever decision we'd make is going to get appealed anyway, and then the court's lying that out.
Isn't the underlying issue, or one of the underlying issues, though, that really creates a problem is the fact that if they don't have a financial arrangement in place, and let's just say we could force them to open the track up, get the cars in, how do you resolve the fact that there isn't a financial agreements in place. Is that correct, Conrad, that right now they're not in agreement or they don't have an agreement on what, if anything, should be paid or how that works from a financial?
To the best of my knowledge, yes, that they don't presently have a concrete an operating plan is how it's referred to with the rail industry on how the facility is serviced and shipments to where, how different portions of the track that are owned by different railroads are going to be utilized by the private industry, which in this case would be the elevator. And so I think I would definitely echo that, you know, we've got a lot of different options. The question is if we want to try to do some action and expedite it, I would look at the mediation portion being something that we could be done in relatively short order. And because as of this moment, and I spoke with Dan Zink this morning with Red River, with RRVW, and I asked him just point blank, have the three parties sat down and had a dialogue about this at the same time instead of just through emails and through different attorneys? He said, no, they haven't. And I view that as kind of the first step to really air everything out, get everybody on the same page. And once people are, you know, now talking about the same thing together, can that be a path forward? But is that going to be expedited enough for the railroad? I mean, for the elevator? I don't think at this point anything is. I mean, their deadline is basically next week. Being brought in the midnight hour puts us in a precarious position that, you know, we can work with that, but is that something the commission is able to do? And being brought in relatively short notice puts a lot of strain on everything as well.
If we say that we're able to do it and order them to go and we're wrong, CP will quickly appeal it and it'll be stopped.
Order what to go? We have no rights to tell anybody to go anywhere on the railroads. I mean, this is what we have right here.
Right.
We don't have any rights to order trains on tracks.
Well, then what are we talking about it for?
Well, I mean, come on. We've got to be realistic here, Randy, about what the actual options are. I mean, we can't be directing trains. That's not an option.
But until we've danced around this for years, we don't have the authority, but they come to us and we kind of...
Well, then we should just say we don't have the authority and do nothing. I mean, if that's what you want to do, then we should say we don't have the authority to solve this problem. Sorry, we just don't. And that's one of the options.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that my concern is and what I want to do with the parties is to get them that information, because then their next step is Surface Transportation Board, because that would be who would have the governing authority federally over something of this nature. But I think they just need some direction, because if they're reaching out to government agencies and then we're getting contacted by Senator Hovind's office, we're getting contacted by the governor's office, we need to provide, I want to be able to provide information to them that this is the direction they have to take this issue.
Right.
And then that way they know where their next step is at that point.
I mean, I'm comfortable saying we don't have any authority and that we don't, you know, I'm comfortable with that, and I'm comfortable trying to serve as a mediator. Either way, I think if we serve as a mediator, we say we have limited authority here. We want to use it as best we can. This is what we view as something we can do. And if this doesn't work, you got to go to STB or whatever. Or we just say, sorry, you know, got to go to STB, Surface Transportation Board, STB.
I think this would be all a lot more helpful if the victim in this party or whoever is the person making the allegations actually had filed something with us for us to look at to initiate something, which would have been back in November. Right now we're caught in this tight spot and makes the things really difficult. I did want to expound upon just a couple of things, at least when I was thinking about the law a little bit. And if the state law says that we have jurisdiction over this, even if we're federally preempted, we follow the state law until the courts tell us not to. We're not the ones out there making constitutional determinations normally. The only difference in this specific statute is it expressly says not inconsistent with federal law, which is unique, which allows us the opportunity in a manner to
engage,
read the obvious case law out there that really seems to show express preemption. There are a couple different ways to kind of look at how to interpret that and whose authority is to do what. But I just did want to bring that up, that at least that has been in the past, for example, where we haven't been provided this. We follow the state law until someone tells us we're unconstitutional, which would be the courts.
So how does that relate to our options then?
Well, I think what it, as it relates to our options then is if you guys take the approach that, well, we'll push this to the courts, tell us no, then we would take the view that, of course, we have authority over, same normal authority as we do in every single utility out there. Order show causes, complaints, and actually much broader rate regulation to a degree, which I don't think is.
Am I coming through okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Commissioner.
Yes.
Okay. This might help expedite the direction that we go. I was exactly where you're at, Julie, being very explicit in that, you know, we have limited, if any, authority in terms of you know, what we can do, et cetera, but also to do what we can from a mediation standpoint to try and bring the parties together and being helpful in that sense. But again, going back to, I don't think we have the jurisdiction by any stretch, and I don't think it would be wise for us to force CEP to open the line up, because let's say we did, and there isn't a financial arrangement in place, and CEP says, okay, fine, we'll open it up. And then what the short line entity's name again?
RRVW, Red River Valley.
Yeah. All of a sudden they get a very robust bill in the mail, for example, for use of the track. I just, you know, trying to be, I think it's a moot point because I don't think we can do it anyway.
You can't do it.
The authority.
No.
But even if we could do it without a financial arrangement in place, we could do more harm than good to the elevator if they get nailed with an exorbitant bill because of, you know, for using the track.
Chairman, I would agree that we, with Commissioner Fedorchuk, we don't have the authority to tell the railroad, open this track right now. We, our regulatory authority, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, as well, is that, is there a violation of this? Then they could be subject to penal provisions, and that you violated the state law by doing this. But as to the extent that we order them that you're going to do this right now, I don't think is within the purview of the commission. But
I don't think it is either.
When you have the conversations with them, what did whoever called from the Governor Burgum's office and from Senator Hovind's office, what were they suggesting? They must think we have some authority.
I think it was there was no suggestions on their part as far as, hey, you guys can do this. It's more of, we need help. Can you help? It's kind of just reaching out at the, you know, kind of the last possible moment to grab, you know, any rope that they can for assistance.
And quite possibly, they probably assume that we know more.
Yeah.
Right.
And for example, I called the AG's office about this, more than likely they're going to say, well, we haven't done a lot with railroad. I don't want to tell you off the top because the only...
Called PSC.
Right. PSC and the DOT are the only two that have any sort of discussions with railroads for the most part. The two agencies that kind of interact from that.
Right. And Governor Burgum's office will contact me on rail-related issues because the governor's office knows, oh, PSC, they deal with railroads. So yeah. we'll just contact them. But I think some of this comes down to that Senator Hovind's office, talking with his representative yesterday, is that, you know, their office is just more in a holding pattern, that they see this as a miscommunication and lack of communication between the parties, and you guys need to come together to work this out. Yeah. And
so if we break it down into options, we've got one option to say, sorry, we have no authority here. You'll have to take this elsewhere.
Sure.
The other option would be what we've talked about, kind of try to facilitate a mediation. What other options are there?
The other option would be a party could, you know, file a complaint with us, you know, in documentation, and staff could bring a formal complaint forward. We'd have to review all the facts and information that would be submitted to see, is it jurisdictional? Is it, do we have the authority for that? We talked about, you know, the possibility of an order to show cause, but once again, that would need to be supported by a basis of factual information, which At this point, we've had a lot of conversations, but and starting to get some documentation to see. But I don't know if at this point we'd be ready to say, "Yep, that's the route we would go on that."
Is this supplemental agreement? Is this where is this filed? You said Surface Transportation Board.
I believe that's who it was filed with. It was provided to me by.
But this is a private voluntary agreement, right?
This is an agreement between the two railroads, and I think it was the Surface Transportation Board was involved.
The 1961.
I think they both were, and that goes. I didn't necessarily make a copy of the original one, which is 35 pages, but it's an amendment to that.
I think there may be an argument too that they possibly could go to civil court on this too. I don't know why they didn't if they haven't, because they're. I think they're. You know, granted, I haven't done extensive research in this, but there is some discussion about voluntary agreements between parties that, you know, that's a contractual thing that can be found out, looked at by courts. Which generally is not something that we look at as a commission.
And I'm thinking, there too, then that goes so slow, they lose all their deadlines and.
Sure, but there's opportunity. For example, they would have done that back in November. They would have had injunctions and hearings probably in very short notice, and the court could have ordered them, like, open it up and we'll figure out the rest of the hearing.
Right.
But I'm not overly privy to who's doing what and why. Which it may be better off just to get everyone in the same room, just so we know what's going on.
Right.
So the possible outcomes, if we were to do that, would be that we get further information to realize we really don't have a role here, or maybe the parties can come up with some kind of an agreement, or. After that, somebody could find a formal complaint.
We can review it, or like as Jack said, they could take it to civil court as well, and the court system that way.
I mean,
I don't know if we're gonna if there's an answer that's gonna get them to being able to load trains by the end of the month, and nor should we shoulder that responsibility, because that is not our responsibility, but just reviewing different avenues that we can assist. And saying, you know, bringing us in the midnight hour is not, you know, the golden ticket for you being able to do this.
Right. I mean, to the extent that of the options that we have, the mediation or, you know, that approach would probably provide the best possible fast resolution for them.
Right.
It's going to be faster than the Surface Transportation Board if it works.
Right. And there's no guarantee that the dialogue would work or...
Yeah.
Would we get pushback from one of the parties saying, we're not doing this, you know? And
so is this not an example of undue or unreasonable preferences being shown by the railroad? Or are we acknowledging that it potentially could be undue preferences, but that we just believe that it's... inconsistent with federal law.
The basis of this law, I'm assuming, follows the same principles as rate cases and public utilities and so forth. So from that standpoint, I guess you'd have to look at those specific practices. I don't know if I'm the one who would be able to make that case of undue discrimination. Maybe that's discrimination for a very due factor. That's ultimately what you guys decide when, for example, a contract rate comes up. Is this due discrimination or undue discrimination? Well, this is due for the benefits of the broader broader distribution system, for example. So
this feels complicated to me because there's the side of our RRVW. But then the CP is also claiming that they have this they're the operating railroad, and they have control, and they don't have any agreement to ship, and they have this minimum volume agreement that they should be afforded.
Right.
And so there is two sides, and both sides in any sort of deal are going to want to have their sides heard before they're forced to do anything.
And both companies have attorneys. You know, that they work with that have probably pored over these documents page by page, item by item, And, you know, each side, I mean, has a, you know, talking to both sides, it's, you know, each side legitimately believes that they are in the right, in that standpoint. And so it does compound it more as well, since I don't feel that I've got a good grasp of the conceptually what's going on, but as far as all the details,
right.
There's been emails exchanged that Senator Hoeven's office has been forwarded and is privy to, because the congressional offices are not subject to Freedom of Information Act information. So they can get stuff that, you know, we may not without somebody sending it to us and requesting confidentiality, because they don't want this to be made public. So there's a lot of stuff that we're still in the dark on about it as well.
Yeah.
Well, can we ask the complainants to file some kind of legal brief with us explaining what their position is, why they feel we have authority to do something, and what it is they want us to do?
I think certainly we could ask them to say, okay, we understand that there's an issue out there. We're going to need information from both sides. And so please provide us this in writing along with supporting documentation on what is the concern and what do you feel is being done here.
Now, what would we do with that?
Well, if they make a good legal case for why we do have authority, then we
then what, though?
What the legal authority allows us to do.
Okay, but that's not going to do anything in the next 2 weeks,
right,
to resolve this. Because in order to do anything, we obviously would have to give the other side, the other party, an opportunity to respond to what they said. And then they respond again back and forth. And
right. I unfortunately...
Too much on the road before we're even sitting in a room talking about it.
I think, unfortunately, the quickest actionable item that can happen here is the three parties talking amongst themselves to resolve this. And you know what? And if if the farmer's elevator needs to compensate CP for the use of the property, then that's what they need to do. That's the quickest resolution to this. I think the expectation from the parties right now is, you know, given, and the expectation from Lidgerwood is that we can exert additional pressure on CP just to, you know, kind of cave in and okay, we'll fine, we'll just let you run with it. But the filing the legal briefs and the information and all their documentation is not the answer that Lidgerwood's looking for, and I don't necessarily know if they would do it or not. I mean,
just because I'm new to this, Lidgerwood is the...
The co-op elevator.
The co-op elevator.
Yep, that has the shuttle facility, so.
You know, there is the option, just so you guys are fully aware, that I believe, and this is without me having it in front of me, I believe that there... The order show cause option would allow possibly upon a commission determination that the time period should be a shorter time for an order show cause hearing.
What would the cause, who would we be telling to show what in that?
I would imagine, well, that's part of the problem is here we usually attach affidavits, be like, this is why we're doing an order show cause, this is our basis for it. And so we would have to have a basis, which then that would be Conrad or so forth, whoever it is providing these affidavits to give the basis for it.
To CP to say, probably tell CP, us right. Why you you're can not block a, access
right.
To this.
Right, right. I guess the whoever would be the party we're asking for the remedy
yeah.
From.
Right.
Last time we tangled with a big company on an order to show cause, it was not a simple or
and I don't think this would be
or effective. And I was all for it.
Sure.
But it didn't work well. I didn't think.
The one little differentiation to that one, though, was we tried to file a formal complaint and then go to order show cause, and that flips the burden, which is
yeah.
A messy legal
issue. A big problem.
Right. So, and I would say at this point, I'm not in any position to write an affidavit and swear to statements other than, I mean, I've had conversations, but is that based in factual information? And I wouldn't be in a position to even write that at this point.
Anything that involves our staff having to do a lot of work, I'm like very hesitant for, unless we get sucked in and have no choice.
If it's work from staff standpoint, but the problem is it's just not information that we have.
Right.
That's, I think, the biggest impediment to us doing something. If it's just a matter of us putting in some extra hours, it's one thing. But if it's how do we even get the information that we know we need on right. this type of thing?
And you know, possibly at this point, we, you know, as you mentioned, Commissioner Fedorchuk, we don't have to take any action. I mean, part of my intention for wanting to push this and have this meeting is to make sure that the commission can have a dialogue about this mm-hmm. and know the situation and what's going on. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have an actionable item out of it and say, well, the three of you haven't even elected to sit down together to talk about this. Why do we need to say, yep, this is what you're going to do when you haven't done it on your own accord to try and sort this out?
Yeah.
But if one side doesn't show up, then they can't well do that either. And
I would say at this point, for the knowledge I have, there hasn't been an attempt made to do that, to have any type of mediated discussion or a sit down with the three parties. And neither side has really requested that.
Maybe that's another option is we say, you guys need to sit down and talk about this. After you do that, here's your options. You can file a formal complaint here, and we can go down that path and see where that leads. Or you can go to STB. Surface Trent. Yeah, ST. Why do I want to say STP? STB.
It's because of SPP.
Maybe. SPP, Southwest Harbor.
And go down that path. So we could say, you know, geez, you guys haven't even talked through this yourselves. You got to try to work this out. That would be, I'm adding that to the list.
I think from the perspective, that might be what I see as the better option, and that, you know, the three of you really need to, you haven't shown in good faith and effort to try to, as far as we know, you know, the knowledge that we have, an effort to try to sit down and work this out yet. So why do we come in and say, oh, this is what you want a decision or a forceful decision about this, you know, an order or something like that.
In our omnipotent view.
All-knowing. So that's it. I mean, it was hard enough to even get the agreement so I could even have this map to say, you guys are talking about this agreement between the two operating companies. I haven't even, and this is my conversation with Dan Zink at like 8:30 last night. It's like, I haven't even seen this. Everybody's referring to all these things, and I'm like, I need to get this. I need to at least look at it. So I have some more, you know, a conceptual idea of what's going on.
What is Dan asking for? Anything?
Dan is not the one that approached us, and he's just wanting to. They view they have the right to do it. This is what they want to do, and you know they've been trying to work with CP a little bit about it, but it was the Todd at the Lidgerwood Farmers Elevator that approached us and said, "We're in crisis mode. We have big concerns about this. We need to get these trains in. We need to get this opened up." And then that's when Senator Dotsenrud contacted me and said, we need to, you know, and from his aspects, and I did speak to him last night and kind of laid out a little bit more of the facts, because he was only privy to the Lidgerwood side of the situation and not necessarily the CP side of the situation. And so that, you know, he says, you know, and he texted me on Friday night saying, well, we need to get this worked out because they've got, you know, it seems like that CP is doing an illegal move or in blocking, you know, basically blocking them access to service the facility.
And it gets to my original question, though. So you said Dan feels they have the right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't he just exercise it and then let CP follow up with a lawsuit against them or something?
I think that would probably come into that kind of the operating rules that railroads have to operate under for safety, that they're not just going to charge down that track, that they need the dispatch authority to go down that track and do that. So that would be something that...
And CP has that.
Exactly. And that's something that RRVW
could... if they ran could, into another train?
Right. They could take that and file with court, you know, bring a case in court against and say, you're not allowing us equal access to this track as this agreement states. And then that would be something that they could do there. But that would probably be their actionable item for gaining access to that.
Do we have any idea whether, Chris, the place could be broke by then anyway, but when Sir ST, now you got me mixed up.
STB.
Does, you know, years down the road ever make a decision? Do they grant damages and stuff too? Or is it just, no, now you got to start doing a certain
thing? You know, I'm not too familiar with some of their actionable items, and I haven't had a chance to see if they've got anything as far as dealing with something like this. So I'd be unsure if they grant damages or anything like that. I would think that I mean, you know, through a lawsuit, the damages could be granted if they, you know, I would think maybe if the STB ruled this way, then that would be a case that the elevator could then make to in a lawsuit saying, you prevented us from being able to, you know, generate this revenue. It cost us this much. You owe us damages. I don't know if the STB awards damages or not.
Well, now I'm on to, we should request them to meet, say, you know, after you, let us know after you meet if you still need us to get involved. We have limited jurisdiction, but there are issues of unfair practices. Right now it's he said, she said.
Right.
And both sides have legitimate points right. that they're making. That if true, are legitimate. We don't know if they're true.
Right.
And we'd have to get involved in a much deeper level to make that determination.
Right. There's a lot of allegations going around, and then say, you know, somewhere in the middle finds the truth. Commissioners, and this, you don't have to read this right now. I just wanted to point out in that packet right at the end, there's an email that was sent to me by Dan Zink this morning with some correspondence between Todd at the elevator and with CP that occurred last night and this morning. And I thought it really did a good job of kind of summarizing Lidgerwood's points, and it did a good job summarizing CP's points. And I think it just was an informative read that I wanted to direct your attention to and provide to you so that you can see kind of in their words, and it's just it's a quick read too, but you don't have to read it now. I just wanted to let you know that was there.
So in trying to set up then, if that's the route we're going, discussion between them, when you contact CP, could we at least just urge them to dispatch this one train and then when everything is done, settle up on that later? But why lose $250,000 penalty for
right?
Yeah,
I can certainly have that discussion and really urge and emphasize on the business that. And the other thing is, I mean, I can't see the perspective on a business standpoint of letting this go on so long with CP, because they were interested in investing in this business. They want to see this business thrive. I mean, their revenue stream is based off of businesses shipping freight. And so to strong arm a business to the point where they have to shutter their operation, it's just not a good business move. And you're not doing, this is coming from the letter in here that talks about kind of that unauthorized track where it comes from their Office of Industrial Development, so they're going to develop industry. And I absolutely can relay that there's a major concern with this. And
but I get that's not very good industrial development for them to have them ship on Red River Valley and West.
Right, but that doesn't mean that,
if you can
get them operational.
Tolerate it, you strong-arm them until they do business only with you.
Right, and then you can, but It doesn't help them out, and it puts them in a very precarious financial situation. I would agree with that, and I can absolutely relay that to Ariel with CP and let her know that the concerns of the commission are this infrastructure is there, it's built, it's in place. Can you get assist getting this facility operational? Because one thing that was told to me is, like, we're not saying that they can't ship trains. They can ship trains on CP track right now.
urge them to dispatch, like Randy said, dispatch this train and then get to work on settling this. But don't require this company to suffer these penalties meanwhile, because there won't be much to negotiate if they go belly up.
Right.
And they'll lose a customer too.
Right.
I think one thing that might be worth not discussing too much is our jurisdiction, and probably in this discussion, because, sometimes it's, we may take action, whether it's we can go to the Surface Transportation Board. We could hypothetically do something here as well. And so I would kind of keep, in my own viewpoint, I keep that to a minimum until you guys make a formal decision.
With the railroads, for sure, but not with the customers. Like, sure. Because
right. Yeah,
we don't want them having these expectations that we have all this power when pretty limited.
And I think we can phrase it in the sense that, talking to them and letting them know that the three of you haven't made a good faith effort that we see to sit down and discuss this and try to resolve the issues together, then you really need to do that before we would entertain you know, the option of getting involved, or, you know, or you can file a formal complaint with the commission, and we can review
it. Yeah, that lays out
what
it is they're asking for and the legal basis for it.
Absolutely.
The one thing
calling us, this is just...
It's difficult that way to do anything. Yeah. The one question I would have is, at what point, what shows a good faith effort? For example, because of one party is willing to show up and the other two aren't, or, you know, it still leaves an aggrieved party and...
Yeah.
And maybe we just phrase it as, the three of you really need to continue working on this together as expeditiously as possible. Either party has the option to file a formal complaint with the commission and make your case to the commission at that point. But that,
when you talk to CP about dispatching that train, say that we, you know, I mean, I would flex our muscles a little bit. The commission is concerned about this. We have some jurisdiction in this area, and we want to see them engaged with these parties to fix this quickly. I would push them a little bit. And then I'd say to the other people, our jurisdiction is somewhat limited. you don't have to say that, but just urge them to get together.
Absolutely.
But CP is probably going to be the party that doesn't want to show.
They've when I've talked with her, they've made the case that they have tried to work on this and been denied getting like the engineering plans and the document, you know, to see how the facilities plan. Right. So I don't know if they'll take it to say that they haven't done anything about it yet, but, and to their point, and then the outline in that email that I gave you as well, that they requested information from the elevator that a month ago that still has not been provided to them.
Yeah. I mean, the elevator hasn't been angels.
No, there's not been any party in this to say, you know, we're playing the victim card here, that we haven't been kind of obstinate as well. So I think from that standpoint that it's kind of both parties or both sides that, once again, miscommunication and lack of communication.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us what you're going to do.
So if from what I'm understanding is correct, I will notify both parties and let them know that you're going to need to work on this expeditiously to solve the problem and communicate, whether that's getting on, you know, having a mediated meeting, calling to discuss it rather than just through emails. And then if that doesn't yield results, you do have the option to file a formal complaint with the commission, okay, in which you can allege, you can put your case together and your legal backing along with your evidence for us to review.
Perfect. And you're going to call CP and ask him to.
CP and just urge them and say, you know, can we make sure that, can you work with this industry and at least get them the trains they need right now?
Yep.
And continue to work on resolving the issue.
And then make sure that you know that they tell you that they're, when they do that, like we should leave it like.
Right. I'll continue to keep
tabs
on the situation.
Let us know when you've confirmed that you're going to do that.
At least if they'll at least commit to dispatch this one train with this deadline of today, I think it was.
They
canceled one freight train, but that doesn't cancel the contract.
Penalty.
Right. Yeah. So they could potentially still fill the two trains.
If CP would let them know, we will dispatch it. Now you've got the week or two to get it out. That could be done. And then it would also let Lidgerwood know then that, okay, now we got one, but... So there's a little pressure on them to be agreeable, too, to getting something done here.
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't, if that's my business, and I would just be paying CP whatever they need to get that first train out. Like, wouldn't they for a...
Right, I mean, Lidgerwood could approach them and say, okay, right now, we understand that you want this minimum volume agreement, but we haven't reached a conclusion on that. What is it going to cost for you to get this train
go? Yeah.
Maybe CP will only do it if they commit to all their business.
Well, maybe.
Or a portion of it.
But maybe it's not a matter of price on one train. It's maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Right. But there's a lot of...
That's a pretty unfair practice then. I don't see how that...
Well, then they could make their case...
Lives up to shared track and one being the operator and others using it. That doesn't seem like that.
Right.
You're right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Conrad.
Absolutely.
And Jack. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
The legal beagle.
Yes, and providing some very good information with very minimal time.